CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Blood in my eyes, hate in my heart, love in my mind. I seen nights full of pain, days are the same. You keep the sunshine, save me the rain. I search but never find, hurt but never cry. I work and forever try, but I'm cursed, so never mind. And it's worse, but better times seem further and beyond. The top gets higher, the more that I climb. The spot gets smaller, and I get bigger, trying to get in where I fit in. No room for a nigga, but soon for a nigga, it be on, motherfucker. Cause all this bullshit, it made me strong, motherfucker. So I pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah, bitch, I'ma pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah, and I could die now, rebirth, motherfucker. Hop up in my spaceship and leave Earth, motherfucker. I'm gone, motherfucker, I'm gone. Oh, I know what they don't wanna tell you. Just hope you're heaven sent and you're hell proof. I walk up in the world and cut the lights off. And confidence is a stain they can't wipe off. Huh, my word is my pride, but wisdom is bleak. And that's a word from the wise. Serve to survive, murdered and bribed. And when it got too heavy, I put my burden to side so I could pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah, bitch, I'ma pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah, and I could die now, rebirth, motherfucker. Hop up in my spaceship and leave Earth, motherfucker. I'm gone, motherfucker, I'm gone.
But I never show this pain you never know. If only you could see just how lonely and how cold and frostbit I become. My back's against the wall when push come to shove. I just stand up and scream fuck 'em all.
Man, it feels like these walls are closing in. This roof is caving in. But it's time to raise it then. Your days are numbered like pages in my book of rhymes. Got them cooking, boy. This crooked mind of mine got them all shook and scared to look in my eyes. I stole that fucking clock. I took the time and I came up from behind and pretty much snuck up and butt fucked this game up. Better be careful when you bring my name up. Fuck this fame, that ain't what I came to claim. But the game ain't gonna be the same on the days that I leave it. But I swear one way or another, I'ma make these fucking haters believe it. I swear to God, won't spare the rod. I'm a man of my word, so your fucking head's better not. Run the fuck around in this bitch and roast everybody. Sleep on me, that pillow is where your head'll lie. Permanently, bitch, it's Betty Bob. This world is my Easter egg, yeah, prepare to die. My head is swole, my confidence is up. The stage is my pedestal. I'm unstoppable, incredible. Hulk, you're trapped in my medicine ball. I can run circles around you so fast your fucking head'll spin, dog. I split your cabbage and your lettuce and olives. I fucking pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah, bitch, I'ma pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah, and I could die now, rebirth, motherfucker. Hop up in my spaceship and leave Earth, motherfucker. I'm gone,
capacity of coke.
It's the brand you can trust.
Yeah.
La Coca Nostra.
Good morning, CKLN listeners. Check, check. Good morning, CKLN listeners. Good morning. Hopefully you were enjoying the Demon's Lair and had a great time for the last 4 hours. It is the 15th day of April 2010. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, like this Thursday. The show you can catch at CKLN 88.1 FM, Rogers Cable Box 947, and CKLN.FM online. Also streaming at archive.org, radioforall.net, and Podomatic afterwards for stream or download in case you want to get a jump on the day. Absolute insanity happening right now. I don't know if you folks are aware of the absolute insanity, but there certainly is absolute insanity happening. The cover of the mainstream papers is something you can juxtapose with what some of the best critics of what the mainstream has to offer have to say, and you'll see that there are some frightening developments. The latest news is that Harper and Obama, that is Prime Minister Harper and President Barack H. Obama, are discussing how the biggest threat to the West is the threat of a suitcase nuke. It's no longer a nuclear war between states, but actually independent actors, people who managed to stumble across nukes and then blow them up in cities. And as our Prime Minister Stephen Harper himself said, in his own Nadler Shatner kind of way, with the cold dead eyes of a shark, as he has, if terrorists do manage to acquire uranium or nuclear materials, and then they manage to enrich those materials, and then they manage to construct a bomb out of those materials and smuggle it into an area, then we could be in a lot of trouble. So you can see, much like the Saddam Hussein may eventually decide to get the thought crimes that will allow you to be tossed in jail or your country to be blown to smithereens and a million of your people killed, as is the case in Iraq. The thought crimes are back. That's right. We gotta reprioritize everything based on the fact that our leaders are pushing the idea that there could be false flag suitcase nuke terrorist attacks. Why? Well, because this was on 24 a couple of years ago. there was a whole little run of 24 where like five different U.S. cities were blown up by nuclear bombs, and the Jack Bauer's team special unit had to go into thing and go torture people to try and stop more stuff from blowing up, and there was a continuity of government program where, in case the entire government is decapitated in a terrorist attack, there is kind of a shadow government working behind the scenes, ready to ensure that that a government can still function. And so they introduced all these ideas through us. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com calls it predictive programming, where they just put the ideas out there, mostly in fiction. You know, if it's on the news, you might get suspicious. You might be like, hey, that's the news. That's the news. The news is trying to teach me how to think. And I don't want that left-wing viewpoint or right-wing viewpoint. I'll think for myself. So it's tougher with the news. It can still be done. And with television and ELF frequencies, reducing our brains to a hypnotic state so we can possibly take in information. It can certainly be done by the news, and it has been done by the news. But the bottom line is that it's most often done through fiction. Fiction. There are groups called the Futurists, like the Futurist Society at futurist.org. Look up the Futurist Society, futurist.org, where basically the science fiction writers are members. And a lot of them are given general instructions as to where the smartest people who look into these ideas think the world is going. Then they try and execute those instructions, and the ones that do the best job come back and get awards from the Futurist Society. So, you know, there you go. It's a perfectly happy little club they got going over there when it comes to predicting and defining the future. And, of course, they are foundation-funded, and they are a branch of control. They are a control mechanism of course, the New World Order, which is something I discuss quite frequently on this show. I do talk about the fact that there is a conspiracy run by basically European nobility, the people that colonized the world for a few hundred years, had enough cash to pull some crazy stuff, so they went for broke. And for the last few hundred years, certainly in the 20th century, it's been absolutely confirmed. But they've been going for a world government, the same thing that, you know, Genghis Khan wanted, the same thing that Rome wanted, the same thing, you know, Caesar in Rome, the same thing that Alexander the Great wanted, the same thing that the British Empire wanted when they said, no sun sets on the sun never sets on the British Empire. Because they basically meant we control so much stuff that the sun never sets on us. And some part of the world is under sunlight that we run. And so the latest goal is the New World Order. And here in 2010, the reason I frantically start off the show with this little warning about false flag terrorism is because that is their main weapon. Their main weapon is false flag terrorism. and false flag everything, you know, quite frankly. You know, false flag everything. As I Will Still Kill, featuring Akon by 50 Cent, comes on, that's what they do. The false flag essentially means this. Back in, you know, like 500 years ago, 500,000 years ago, as pirates would sail the seas, they would want to rob other ships. So they would fly a false flag of a friendly country, either the same country or a country that, the country that the boat they were going to attack, had associations with, was friendly. So if the Dutch and the Brits had a peace treaty at the time and they were getting along great, maybe the pirates would pick a Dutch flag and then sail up real close and then boom, 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 turn on the guns and either, you know, and shoot them. Try not to sink them because you want to steal the stuff, but, you know, put them in a position to realize that resistance is futile or at least painful. And so that was the concept of false flag, pirates flying a false flag on their mast. And since then, the concept's been expanded to include anytime governments stage their own provocations and then blame them on an external threat. Whether it was at Montebello, Quebec in 2007 for the SPP.gov North American Union Summit with the leaders of Canada, America, and Mexico talking about a trade deal to integrate our three countries into a European Union-style federation without our permission or without our informed consent. And so there were people there ticked off about that. About 1,500 protesters showed up. There's a great film called The Nation's Deathbed. You can see it at pressfortruth.ca that reveals a bit of information about that, including yours truly being in some clips of it. And in Montebello, Quebec, the Quebec police, the Sûreté du Québec, actually staged a provocation. They sent in three giant black bloc anarchist looking types, who these guys were huge. These guys were, if they were an average, if they were, there's a couple that were extra tall, but some of them were average height, but they had big, thick cop forearms. And you go, you three guys dressed in black with your black masks, holding your rocks, you know, with your bandanas. You go to the gym way too much for us to think you're skinny, you know, underfed, Rage Against the Machine and anarchists. You know, you're not skinny teen anarchists. You're cops. Look at the size of you. And so as they were approaching a police line with rocks in hand, the three cops in Montebello, Quebec, a small town a few hours out of Quebec in the remote backward areas of Quebec. And as they were approaching a police line ready to hurl rocks at police, a union leader who was helping to manage the protests against this massive corrupt trade deal, stopped them, said, hey, this is our line. Get your own line. Back up. Who are you anyway? And he actually succeeded in ripping out, and he was saying, put down the rocks, put down the rocks. And the other anarchists there were screaming, policier, 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 you know, saying, those are cops, those are cops. And so the union leader actually managed to rip off the mask of one or two of them. The three guys, the fake anarchists, didn't know what to do at that point. So they were kind of looking around. They were inching closer towards the police line. And these three guys who are supposedly anarchist protesters, people who cover their face with masks, some of the most dangerous protesters, according to the police themselves. These three guys who were supposedly playing protesters just dove behind a police line. Now, I've been at protests before. When you see a bunch of cops, especially dressed the way they were in Quebec, with giant green stormtrooper uniforms, 40 pounds of riot gear on, tear gas cannons, weapons, rubber bullets, automatic weapons. If I was a protester, I'm not diving behind a police line for protection. I'm not diving into a bunch of police dressed in riot gear, unless, of course, I am a cop. And as the three of them were taken down formally by the crowd of police they just dove into, their feet were up because they were on their stomachs with their hands being cuffed behind their backs. And it was found that they had the exact same boots as the officers arresting them, the exact same print on the heel, among other evidence. And then it was later admitted. It was on CBC, City TV, CTV, all the other Canadian mainstream news reports and news stories that, in fact, the Sûreté de Québec had infiltrated the protest. Those were their officers, and this was part of normal police procedure. And if normal police procedure is staging false flag terror events, or basically sending in cops to pretend to be protesters to terrorize their fellow cops or others, then you can see what governments are up to on a micro level, and then you can expand that to the macro level to include things like, you know, saying Iraq had WMDs when they didn't, to give, you know, an excuse to invade the country. As Chris Rock said, what do you mean Iraq's the most dangerous country in the world? If they're the most dangerous country in the world, how come it took us only 3 weeks to take over the whole goddamn country? And he has a point there. They weren't the most dangerous country in the world after 12-year sanctions. But this is the type of stuff that governments will sell us, and they don't care who dies. And so that's important to realize, that when Obama and Harper and other world leaders are talking about the most dangerous threat being a suitcase nuke terrorist attack, it's entirely possible that they or the people behind them or the people they are a salesman for could be planning one. So do keep that in mind. I'm going to break down some of the specifics of that, but there's a general overview of some ideas based around false flag terrorism. I want to take you to a clip of the Alex Jones Show that struck me from the 7th of April, 2010. This is Alex Jones and a Christian soldier versus the Iraq war crimes as they're talking about it. In this clip, there's a particularly interesting part where this former soldier, who's talking to Alex Jones about this stuff, talks about how the best thing he can do is to get right with Christ. And Jones says, well, does that mean you're into fighting corruption? Because there's a lot of people being screwed by it. And, you know, Jesus or the Lord may want you to help out God's other children as well as getting your own butt straight. And universally across all religions and belief systems, that's not a bad thought.
Say, well, this is just war. Yeah, this is these aggressive wars that are like video games. We're going to compare the chopper footage to a video game that people are being conditioned with coming up in the next hour, some video and audio of that to educate people. But this is the dehumanization. This is what they see as normal now when it totally violates the rules of war and dehumanizes our soldiers. And then they say, well, support the troops. You've got to never criticize what's happening. I'm a citizen. I have a right to criticize these illegal wars based on fraudulent WMDs. I know it's not manly and cool to be into mass murder and death and darkness. And I know the troops are being used up. I mean, in Vietnam, maybe two tours, World War II, one tour. And most of those guys had mental problems, 4, 5, 6, some doing 7 tours now. They know they're destroying the troops mentally. That's what they want to do. So abusing troops is now patriotism. Illegal wars is now patriotism. No, it's not. It's a fraud. And you got these people that put themselves up on a high horse on a mental power trip like they're the moral people and anyone against their criminal wars is bad. They just set the parameters in their own mind. No, they are engaged in delusions and evil. Go ahead.
Well, the one thing I can think about, Alex, is that we're going to see troubles that the Earth has never seen before in its history, and that the only reason that it's going to stop is because Christ is going to come back and stop it. Otherwise, we would destroy the whole planet.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe it's our job to stand up against evil, though, or not just wait for Jesus?
Oh, absolutely, Alex. And you know what? The only way I can stand up against evil is to bind myself with the powers of heaven, the angels that are watching everything that is going on. And believe me, Alex, they're ready to come back to this earth with.
But when you bind yourself with the powers of heaven, do you then feel an uncontrollable urge to face down corruption?
I absolutely do, Alex. And really, Alex, I witnessed crimes yesterday. I swore to uphold the Constitution, and I witnessed crimes yesterday. I had to plug my ears, Alex. I could not watch the video.
Well, we have Tony Schaefer coming on next week, Black Ops Colonel, and he's saying it violated all the rules and looks like it's illegal as well.
Alex, who do I report the crimes to? The only people I can report the crimes to right now I know of are you. You've already presented.
Well, tell somebody who worked on helicopters and was in and around this why it's a crime.
Why it's a crime? Because you have to. Well, first of all, if you engage the enemy, you do not engage children, innocent children, in an ambulance with taking wounded away. That's number one. That's the only thing I have to say. That's a war crime right there. And you don't torture children, 6, 12-year-old children. You don't torture children, Alex. I was never taught that when I went through the military. My drill sergeant came back from Vietnam, and I respected that man immensely. He never taught us to abuse prisoners.
Well, more than that, it was always looked down on, and people got in trouble for giggling and laughing and making light of killing people. I mean, there's also the enjoyment of it. No, none of the old vets I ever talked to said that it was good to enjoy it. They said there was always a few guys that were sick, but more and more they're promoting the people that giggle. And did you hear me playing the video and audio of the guy making demonic pleasure noises while they were beating children?
Alex, I had to put my fingers in my ears. I came back to turn the radio down, and I had to put my fingers in my ears. I swear.
But you know, that was literally a demon you were hearing.
Alex, I know. We're in some serious
trouble. Well, stay there, and we'll hear your prayer when we come back on the other side of the break. And I got a little grumpy coming into the segment because, I mean, this isn't a joke, folks, and I'm sick of having to focus on this stuff. But if more people would get up off their butts, we could turn this around.
Now this one dedicated to the man them call MacGyver. And no 007 James Bond spy man in the area. Maximum respect to the man them call Ice Cube. And the bus no deuce, deuce no trade, 8 bus for wicked.
Wicked.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, at 6:22 a.m., 22 minutes into your Thursday, April 15th, 2010 edition of Rude Awakening. And this rude boy hopes you enjoyed that little clip from the Alex Jones Show where they were talking about the recent footage that came out of the dehumanized military shooting at unarmed women and children in Iraq. And that was footage from 2007. And don't be surprised. Don't look surprised. I mean, you know, unless you missed all those movies about Vietnam back in the day, then you really shouldn't be surprised at Wagwan. These days, because that's essentially it. You know, people are given a license to kill. They're bored. They're miserable. They know that that they're not there for any good reason. And as a result of that, they go a little nuts and blow off steam. If the people that put these troops to war, that send these troops to war, if they can be that callous and irresponsible to put these, you know, courageous and well-trained young and men, women and women in horrible positions, if your bosses, if your father figures abrogate their responsibility to treat you in a responsible manner by not putting you in harm's way unless it's necessary, and by only giving you important things to do when it comes to, you know, a case where you could die for doing it. You know, when they abdicate their responsibility, then, you know, you don't mind abdicating yours. And so, you know, a lot of the soldiers over there go nuts. And as Jones and others have discussed on his show, and as has been discussed elsewhere, in Vietnam, it was usually just one tour. You went in there for one tour. You lost your mind over the carnage, the drug use going on there, the war crimes and the rape and the murder and the assassination and the torture and the pointlessness of randomly taking random hills and leaving others and just the nightmare that was the Vietnam War. And after a year of that, you know, usually you'd lost your mind and you know, had to come back and recover. And some people never did recover from Vietnam. And that was one tour of duty in that war. This is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tours of duty in this war as they add more incentives or subtly threaten you or promise you certain things if you decide to put yourself back in the meat grinder of this this situation. And that's essentially what's been happening so far with respect to the wars. And why? Why would they do this? I mean, you know, what? Well, you know, so you might think, even if our governments are bad, why would they want to kill, you know, their own troops or mind bomb their own troops? Well, one reason is that they want dehumanized troops who have no problem, you know, promoting fascist policies and dehumanizing people to collect tax revenue, to crush dissent, and so on. So they want that to happen. That's one thing. The second thing is, by putting them there, they are taking a certain number of them through vaccinations and so on. You remember Gulf War syndrome from back in the early 90s, if you've been around, and that's been tied to the anthrax vaccine, because even people who didn't go over there got sick. And so, you know, the only correlating factor appears to be the vaccine against anthrax poison that they all took, which is completely insane in and of itself. But so that's what's going on right now. And so you have a government that is doing that. You know, before you think that they might not blow anything up, do keep in mind that they are currently doing that. They are currently 8 years into a war in Afghanistan that only appears to be getting worse, protecting the poppy fields, as we heard yesterday from Jason Burmis and Peter Dale Scott on this show. And so it's important to keep that in mind, that they are that dangerous. They did pull off 9/11 8.5 years ago. If you don't know 9/11 was an inside job, time to look into it. Google 9/11. Some great films to watch out there include Terror Storm. Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror, featuring all the declassified examples of false flag terrorism in history. And you get stuff like this. I'm on InfoWars right now, and it says here, McCain wants to, quote, pull trigger on Iran. Pull trigger. What does pull trigger mean? Well, it says here, and this is a quote, and there is a video clip as well. CBS and the Associated Press reported today, Senator John McCain said the United States has been backing away from a brewing fight with Iran while that country moves ever closer to having nuclear weapons. And it says, and then it continues, McCain opened a Senate hearing Wednesday by saying that Iran will get the bomb unless the United States acts more boldly. Speaking figuratively, the Arizona Republican says the U.S. keeps pointing a loaded gun at Iran, but, quote, but failing to, quote, pull the trigger. So this becomes a, you're scared. We're scared. You're scared. I'd do it. You know, sitting here in the House of Congress safely, you know, thousands of miles away from where we might drop a nuclear bomb, having absolutely no direct, you know, contact with any possible damage, having bunkers I can go to, you know, while even, you know, the people around me in my own country, if they're hit by an attack, by a retaliatory attack, I'd be safe. So knowing all that, yeah, I got the guts. I got the guts to nuke them. And these people don't. And they're wussies. And blah, 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 on and on and on. So the drumbeat of war for Iran has been going on for about 5 years now. I know I've given out numerous warnings. There have been numerous warnings, including a national intelligence estimate from a couple years ago, 3 years ago, with 18 U.S. intelligence agencies getting together and putting out a report saying Iran is at least 5 to 10 years from building a nuclear bomb. And they were doing this to protect themselves, because there are power structures, there are hierarchies, there's, you know, they have to do, you know, if Obama happens to become president and he happens to be completely nuts, like most of them are, but you know, Obama's completely nuts, no doubt about that. He's just really slick at being a psychopath, and so, you know, like a lot of other, you know, psychopaths out there who can charm people into taking all their stuff, you know, we can accept that a little easier. But here's the bottom line. You know, war with Iran, if it were to start, war with a nation of 60 million people, twice the size of Iraq, with armaments sold to them recently by Russia, by China, and they may be trying to get a nuclear bomb. Because that's the only way you don't get attacked. Pakistan has one, so it's tougher to attack them. North Korea has one, tougher to attack them. Iraq didn't have one. Oops, you got attacked, you got whacked. So I wouldn't surprise me if they were trying to. But again, this is like you know, a midget picking a fight with Shaq. You know, as Chris Rock, the great philosopher comedian, has once said, when I'm in a fight with a man that's bigger than me, I know there's a zone I don't go into. You know, so you might defend yourself. You know, if someone's trying to slap you in the face with a white glove. But Iran is not looking to start a confrontation with a nation that has 10,000 thermonuclear weapons when they may or may not barely have the possibility of making one. It's just, there's absolutely no point. But to get into more detail on that, we do have Mr. Webster Griffin Tarpley, summa cum laude, rogue academic badass, from the Alex Jones radio show from the 13th of April, 2010, to break a bit more of this down for you, including the assassination of pretty much the entire Polish parliament, which is also completely insane that that happened fairly recently.
Your enemies are to destroy the economy.
The other thing done by the Iran, Iraq, that the with difference has been value the currency. Get in again.
George Soros said that last week. And
all right, so here's a couple of reasons for the Polish Canadians and others curious in Toronto of why the half the Polish parliament may have been assassinated.
Texas to Ohio, they're shutting down police departments, cutting sheriff's departments by half, and saying you need to arm yourselves to protect yourself. Everything's going to the bankers now. Nothing for services. Economist, doctor of history, Webster Griffin Tarpley joins us for this segment and part of the next. And then I'm going to continue into the news, and then Watson's joining us. But I wanted to get him on about the Kaczynski twins and this mysterious downing Saturday of much of the Polish government's leadership. Is Russia behind it? Is NATO behind it? Or is it a malfunction? We talked to Colonel Schaefer yesterday. He said it looks like dirty work by somebody. And he suspects Russia. The twins had made Russia mad, moving missiles in and things. But also last week, the president said that he was going, and this is also in the New York Times, that he was going to devalue their currency against the euro and start pulling out of the euro. If that happened, the euro would be dead. George Soros said that last week, and boom, the president and much of the leadership dies. Webster Tarpley, what's your take on this?
Well, hi, Alex. Obviously, it's a great tragedy. Now, in terms of who might be doing this, right, if we think that this was not just a plane crashing in the fog, on the surface, there are four attempts by the plane to land at a not well-developed airport, right? Smolensk is one of those European airports that doesn't have all the equipment for landing in fog, so usually you have to have visibility to land. They crash on the fourth approach after dumping a significant part of their fuel. And when the Russians were telling them, don't land here, go to Minsk or go to Moscow and then take some kind of ground transportation. But that, of course, would have made them miss this ceremony at the Katyn Forest and the commemoration of the 20,000 Polish officers massacred by Stalin. So, hypothetically, what could it be? This guy Kaczynski is a politician who built his house on Russophobia, on being anti-Russian. He was also anti-German. He picked all kinds of fights with Germany. He was always willing to pull out the tragic past of Poland vis-a-vis Russia, vis-a-vis Germany, when he got into negotiations. And the thing that gives him, that puts him in a better light, is that he was also against the Lisbon Treaty. He was one of the last heads of state in Europe to sign this oppressive and oligarchical Lisbon Treaty that went into force last year. And as far as I know, Poland has not joined the euro. They still have their own currency.
No, so, I know, but by dropping it, they say that would affect the eurozone because it was pegged to the euro.
Yes, well, obviously when countries get into difficulty, it's very traditional and very standard to devalue the currency. In other words, if you have some kind of a debt crisis, you can devalue your currency. Most people would say if Greece, for example, were not part of the euro, they would simply devalue the drachma, which doesn't exist anymore, and that would be a way out for them. Devaluing the currency, though, means that the standard of living of the people goes down because they get paid in zloty, and that means they can buy much less. It might mean that exports would be boosted, but the cost of living for the average person goes up. So let's not make anybody a hero about devaluing the zloty. I don't see...
Well, I wasn't making him a hero. That's what they said that he was at odds with Europe about.
Yeah, sure. So there are, again, there are two possibilities. One is with Russia. He, of course, has given the Russians a hard time for many, many years. On the other hand, what is gained by making him into a martyr, especially at the point where he's going to be leaving office in the autumn? In other words, his term is basically going to come to an end, and there's going to be a new election.
So that the West could have... Dr. Agmont. Then I'm going to get into foes of Tea Party movement to infiltrate rallies, pose as racist. Yeah, you heard that here weeks ago, but now it's in the AP. So this is a big victory. But I wanted to finish up with Webster. For those who just joined us, we're talking about the president of Poland, much of the military leadership going down in Russia. Four attempts to land. They told him don't land here in heavy fog. So Webster, you're saying the jury is out. It's a bit suspicious, but it also looks like they were very stubborn.
Yeah, I think so. Now, here's a comparison, okay? If you want to look at a case of somebody inside the European Union who was giving the European Union a hard time, you can look at this guy, Haider, H-A-I-D-E-R, of Austria, who was a right-wing politician with the main thing being anti-foreigner stuff, and this was in southern Austria. Now, he had died in a very, very suspicious automobile crash in October of 2008, after winning an election at a time when he was going to be a kingmaker.
Despite a giant demonization campaign in the media that he was a Nazi.
Yeah, with all kinds of things going on against him. And it doesn't seem to me that the Nazi charge is really based on anything. It was simply that he was a Eurosceptic, he was against the Lisbon Treaty, he was not happy with a lot of things going on in Brussels. But notice the difference. Is that he was taken out of the picture right after winning a very important election when everybody knew that the next government of Austria would be profoundly influenced by him. There's a book by Gerhard Wisniewski about this, which is only in German so far as I know, but it's a very, very good investigation. In the case of Kaczynski now, Lech Kaczynski, he's basically on his way out. His brother had also been the prime minister of Poland, right? You had the Kaczynski twins, one president, one prime minister for a couple of years. The other brother had been kicked out as prime minister and replaced by this guy Tusk, who is more conciliatory to Russia and also to the European Union. And now the other Kaczynski is now gone. I just don't see the case. In other words, the cui bono, right? Who benefits? This doesn't seem to me to be that... That obvious. Although I guess you keep an open mind and see what happens. There will be continuing investigation, which apparently is being done jointly by the Russians and the Poles, so that the Poles can satisfy themselves as to what went on.
All right, let's shift gears into the main subject. And I haven't asked your opinion on this. We will find out now if you concur. But we know Bush played the nuclear 9/11 card. We know that... Well, I believe that they may do it. Now they've replaced the R with a Q in Iraq to Iran, or they've replaced the Q with an N. And it's the same propaganda. Obama's saying the number one threat is non-state actor terrorism. He says we're not worried about country to country having nuclear exchanges. We're worried about Iran running al-Qaeda and nuking America, which is asinine on so many fronts. Al-Qaeda's a CIA creation. Iran's anti-al-Qaeda, Shiite. But it's a total replay of this in the lead-up. And then we have Medvedev coming out and saying, look, this could cause World War III. That's in Haaretz, the big paper out of Israel. Medvedev, Israel strike on Iran could spark global catastrophe or Armageddon. And so let's break this down. Do you concur that they could play a nuclear Armageddon card? Or regardless, just by putting it out there, it's psychological terrorism invoking this fear at a time when the globalist agenda is stalling.
I think that's quite accurate. The big thing that has changed, remember, is that there was an attempt to have a color revolution, CIA people power coup inside Iran. In other words, to put a U.S. puppet regime into power in Tehran with this green revolution of Mousavi and Rafsanjani. And as far as I can see, this has failed. And therefore, the U.S. and the British are reversing their field and going back to the more Bush neocon policy, but with a regional aspect to it, which is new. I would say that the danger of false flag now, especially targeting Iran, is very high. It had been low for about 2 years, but I think now it's rising rapidly, and everybody has to take this very seriously. The goal of this conference that's going on in Washington right now is to fashion a cloak of credibility for a worldwide effort to gang up on Iran, and especially to create a kind of anti-Iranian front in the Middle East. And this is also the diplomacy vis-a-vis Netanyahu. It is that Obama wants to create, and his handlers above all, an alliance of countries that would be Arab and Sunni against the Iranians, who are, of course, Persians and Shiites. So the idea is to assemble Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, right, the Gulf Cooperation Council, try to peel off Jordan, try to peel off Syria, try to get other countries. And I think that's essentially what's going on in Washington. What you have in Washington right now looks very much like the League of the Democracies that was talked about in the election campaign. Most notable is who is not here. Iran is not here. North Korea is not here. Syria not here. Venezuela not here. Bolivia not here. How about Niger, right? Remember the famous Niger yellow cake memorandum and the Valerie Plame saga, right, older in the Bush administration? Well, Niger, big producer of yellow cake uranium, would be key for any kind of, you know, anti-nuclear strategy. Niger.
And you're in D.C. What's the overall mood? I mean, it seems they're now going into desperation. They forced through the health care, but now people are finding out it lowers standard of care and is a big payoff to the banks and insurance companies.
Well, this thing with Obama is largely it's a photo opportunity. And again, you can say, well, you've got a lot of people are here, right? The countries that are here, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, those are countries that they'd like to lure into this anti-Iranian front. You've got who of China is here. With China, they're trying to get China to go along with sanctions against Iran. And there are lots and lots of press reports saying, oh, the Chinese are going to approve sanctions against Iran. There is no sign of this whatsoever.
But how big of a defeat is it that Netanyahu wouldn't come because he knew that Egypt and Turkey were going to go, okay, we'll put sanctions on Iran when there's no evidence they have a weapons program. But we know you've got nukes. Let's talk about that.
Well, of course, the Israelis have 400 or 500 or 600 nuclear weapons. They probably have thermonuclear weapons. They probably have hydrogen bombs. The Israelis, of course, are here. Just Netanyahu is not here. I think the guy is Meridor is the Israeli delegate. Israel, in order to assemble this front of Arabs and Sunnis against the Iranian Shiites, Israel is expected to make concessions that will calm down the question with the Palestinians. In other words, Obama's line to Netanyahu is, you should basically patch things up with the Palestinians, and now let's go on then to deal with your real problem, which is Iran. In other words, your little problem is the Palestinians. Do something to cool
down. But Israel's saying they're going to continue the settlements. They're saying they're going to continue. But we only have a few minutes left here, Webster. Let's go back to the main issue at hand. Obama's main talking point and main statement at the center of this photo op is the number one threat is Al-Qaeda. They work with Iran, and they're going to nuke us any minute. How would you see a false flag nuke deployed?
Well, in any number of ways. Look at Biden. Biden has said in the past week that nuclear war is more likely now than ever before in history because of the probability of non-state actors getting nuclear devices. And Obama is talking not just nuclear terrorism in general, but Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. He's channeling Bush and Cheney once again. So, let your imagination run wild. The main thing is, if any nuclear device goes off anywhere in the world, don't think Iran, think false flag, done by the people who are going to benefit from this. Notice that the other thing that's going on is you've got the whole echelon crew, right? The British, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, they're all here. The main Europeans are here, right? France, Italy, Germany. So it's, again, it's the League of Democracies. It's the group of sort of pro-U.S. Diehards, or people who are willing to talk, at least. I would say it's the League of Democracies plus the five permanent members of
the
U.S.
But I think the message is, the script Obama and the Anglo-Americans are putting out is, we're going to stage a false flag. I mean, all these politicians understand the real message. We're going to stage a false flag. We're gearing up for Iraq, too, but on a bigger scale with Iran.
Yes, and that can probably be now a question of months. Obviously, the thing to do is take a look at the calendar, look at the time of the new moon, right? If wars are going to begin in the Middle East, you've got to find a time when there's no moon, because the stealth bombers and the cruise missiles are visible at night. So if there's a bright full moon, that's not going to be then. It's going to be sometime dark, and if it's going to be in the springtime, it's going to have to be according to that calendar. So work with that, and I would urge everybody to be on a special alert. There was, again, the whole period of 2008-2009, when this color revolution in Iran was being ginned up, the chances were low. But now the chances are high. And, of course, the Iranians know this. They're going to have their own counter-conference within a few days. In other words, they're going to have their own conference addressing some of these same issues, trying to put the onus on the U.S., and indeed...
Shh. Quiet, quiet. You hear that? Yeah, that.
The fuck, son? I'm telling you, man. You gotta watch these niggas, man. I'm paranoid. Bitch, I can't sleep. Niggas trying to get me, man. Give me my heat. Put one under my pillow, one under my seat. Niggas looking at me like I'm something to eat.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That was, again, Webster Griffin Tarpley at tarpley.net, 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 for more information on that. There has been a lot of propaganda, a lot of setup for potential false flag terrorist attack. There's even a clip from 24, where they talk about false flag terrorism. These days, false flag, inside job, all these terms are now part of the culture, thanks to the 9/11 truth movement, heroic efforts since the event itself on September 11, 2001, but certainly escalating around 2003, 2004. There's always a split, though, and there's always people that say, I'm just never, ever, ever, ever going to talk about that, and you can't make me, you whack job. And it's amazing. As Paul Craig Roberts, former Assistant Secretary to the Treasury in the Reagan administration, and someone who's a former Wall Street Journal columnist. It took him a long time. He's now 71. And for the last 2-3 years, he's been coming around to the idea that, yes, 9/11 had to be an inside job based on the physical evidence, based on all the expert testimonials who certify that probability, from their various expert perspectives, including 1,100 architects and engineers at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, which has Richard Gage, the head of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, coming to Toronto on May 2nd. That's just in a couple of weeks, so do check out TorontoTruthSeekers.com for that. Adam Parrott and some folks at University of Toronto are putting on that event. So it's a great job bringing the head of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth here to Toronto to reconfirm the fact that 9/11 had to be an inside job based on just the physical evidence alone. Two buildings that collapsed from planes hitting them, that didn't make any sense because jet fuel is essentially like kerosene, doesn't burn hot enough to melt steel, so it wouldn't take down those super constructed 110-story towers. And then, of course, there is Building 7, WTC-7, the third building to fall that day. The Twin Towers fell around 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. The third building fell around 5 p.m. from small fires. And it was over-engineered to survive any sort of attacks or fires. So that didn't make no sense on its face. But beyond that, It also had things like SEC records. That's the Securities and Exchange Commission that regulates the stock market. It had the SEC records, had CIA offices, U.S. Defense Department offices, had a whole bunch of stuff in there. And if you look back through the history of sort of governments and espionage and this sort of thing, you might figure out that sometimes when they want to destroy a lot of evidence, they'll put it in a building that they burn down or that they destroy. And so that may have been part of what happened to WTC7 on 9/11. Another piece of evidence on that is that the owner of the building, Larry Silverstein, in a PBS documentary, said that, there had been so much loss of life that we talked to the fire department and we agreed that we should just pull it. And pull it is the demolition industry term for pulling the building. And he says, so we pulled the building and we watched it fall down, all soberly. So Larry Silverstein said they pulled it, which means that they had to have wired it for explosives. So if you're to take this, straight at face value, then you'd have to say that there are many buildings, I guess in America or in New York or however you want to expand it or in general, that are just wired for explosives. And those buildings could be pulled anytime. So, if the building I'm sitting in here in Toronto, Canada, at Ryerson University, happens to be on fire, and the owner of it says, it already sucks, so, can you just blow that whole thing up so we can start over and I can get my insurance money? Then obviously, that's what could happen. If that's the reality of the world you live in. However, again, if you look at the evidence, you can see a bit more on 9/11 to see the fact that it was an inside job here. So, before, if I've been ranting on something that you've been unaware of, I'm going to break down a Daily Telegraph article courtesy of Infowars.com. Again, it's a great source for mainstream news. And just to confirm once in a while, I click on the Infowars article. It says here, Obama, nuclear terrorism is gravest threat to global security, by Alex Spilius, Daily Telegraph, April 12, 2010. There's about two paragraphs and then a short quote. And then there's a little link in blue that says read entire article. So I click on that. Infowars. Did you just make up a character named Alex Spilius, make up a newspaper named the Daily Telegraph, and make up all this information? Or does this article actually exist? And so I click on the link, and lo and behold, like every time I do, it takes me to the original here at the telegraph.co.uk. And it says here, nuclear terrorism is gravest threat to global security, Barack Obama warns. So do keep that in mind, folks. If you're out there, if you're a liberal, if you're anti-war, if you're on the left, if you're pro-Obama, then do understand that he did promise to end the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He did promise to mitigate the excesses of the war on terror at the very least. He's done nothing of the sort. This is Bush 3. Actually, it's Bush 3.5. I mean, he's just what he's doing because of the impression so many people have him, because of that brilliant game played for 2 years by the corporate media on much of the world, because of all that cover fire, he has been able to get away with much more than McCain could and then Bush could after he'd exhausted his last bits of credibility. So Obama's on his way there, and this isn't even against Obama. Yeah, I don't like Obama. Believe me, I don't like Obama because he's a great salesman for a bunch of rich pricks that are trying to enslave the world. And so I don't like Obama at all. But again, it is the rich pricks trying to enslave the world who do deserve some focus. But into this article. At a two-day summit on Monday, the biggest gathering of world leaders led by an American president since the end of the Second World War, Mr. Obama will urge international cooperation on securing every ounce of loose nuclear material within 4 years. And who defines loose? What does loose mean? if a country has nuclear, materials for self-defense in the same way individuals should have guns for self-defense, can Obama suddenly declare that loose nuke material or say, invent some, and Obama or whoever the hell is going to put out the propaganda and say, you're working with terrorists and those terrorists might get a bomb and those terrorists might show up here and those terrorists might blow something up. So we got to blow you up because that does appear to be standard policy right now. The Nuremberg trials during, post-World War II said the supreme international crime is to start a war of aggression. And that means that without being attacked, you suddenly attack somebody else. since the Bush administration era and continuing now into the Obama administration era, it is now official United States foreign policy to be into preemptive wars. And that is, again, because of the myth of 9/11, the global war on terror persists. Paul Craig Roberts, I think I was going to get to this, you know, he said that he's given up his columns at counterpunch.org, a pretty solid, you know, site, very interesting analysis, and antiwar.com, again, same thing, because he says those folks, you know, for all the great work they do exposing the crimes of different countries and different governments and the wars, they refuse to touch 9/11. And he says, you know, Alex, in his sweet southern drawl, you know, Alex, it's amazing. These people do not believe the U.S. government on anything, on matters of foreign policy, on matters of domestic policy. They don't believe the U.S. government on anything except for 9/11. And that shows you the key control factor out there. So if you want to know who's keeping it real, then, you know, you got to say, do they talk about the fact that 9/11 is an inside job? Are they willing to look at it? There are concentric circles this could grow in. How much responsibility do you have for anyone? And that should be, you know, a metric for your reason to be open-minded. Because if you have a lot of responsibility for a lot of people, then you should keep an open mind. So, for example, if you're a baby, you don't have no responsibility for no one. So, whatever, you might be like, you know, screw you, I'm not looking at that book, I'm going to suck my thumb. And that's fine. You know, that's you're a baby, whatever. As you get older, you start getting more responsibility introduced. You're 8-year-old, can you take care of your 5-year-old brother, you know, when you two go outside to play for a little bit? And you're like, oh, okay, well, now I got to take this a bit more seriously. I can't just think of me, I got to think of my responsibilities. And then as an adult, you have more, and as a parent, you have more. You got kids, and somebody, you know, someone from TorontoTruthSeekers.com, a group that I do affiliate myself with and shout out on a regular basis in the interest of full disclosure. If someone during the H1N1 pandemic last summer, you know, at a little table with a little umbrella, announcing the fact that they are truth seekers and are at least looking for it, and you can decide if we found it. That's on you. That's not on us. I can't decide what you think or what I think. I can just, you know, tell you what I think. And so if you're a parent and you have a kid, and someone at TorontoTruthSeekers.com, you know, because you approach a table or someone hands you a flyer, and it says VRAN.org, legal vaccine exemption forms, when you thought they didn't exist, when you would argue violently that it was official school policy, you know, and that your kid couldn't go to school, and even though you suspected vaccines of being not good for us, you had to shoot your kid because otherwise they couldn't go to school. And, you know, that little evil, hopefully they're okay, you know, will enable him to go to school and get an education. So it's a compromise I'll quickly make. And the flyer on it says VRAN.org legal exemption forms. Here's some risks of vaccines. We only hear the benefits. You should really check out the risks straight up. You know, if you just think about the possibilities for investigation in this world, if you have any responsibility, as long as there are groups of people out there, as long as there are people with, peers, persistence and proof, then you're home free. If it's just one person saying something, whatever, a crazy guy in the street yelling stuff, whatever. But if you know there are entire communities devoted to researching corporate and government and globalist or New World Order corruption, do you support that research at this time in the 21st century in 2010? Google New World Order. Type click news. See all the news stories that refer to it casually now. So back to this article from The Telegraph here. Ahead of the meeting, Obama said, the single biggest threat to U.S. security, both short-term, medium-term, and long-term, would be the possibility of a terrorist organization obtaining a nuclear weapon. This is something that could change the security landscape in this country and around the world for years to come. If there was ever a detonation in New York City or London or Johannesburg, the ramifications economically, politically, and from a security perspective would be devastating. We know that organizations like Al-Qaeda are in the process of trying to secure nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction, and would have no compunction at using them. A massive Obama quote to start off this article. More Obama quotes after this. Sounding a dire warning in advance of the summit, Hillary Clinton, U.S. Secretary of State, warned that a 10-kiloton nuclear bomb, smaller than the device dropped by the U.S. on Hiroshima in 1945, detonated in Times Square, could kill a million people. Oh, my God. Beyond the human cost, a nuclear terrorist attack would also touch off a tsunami of social and economic consequences across our country, she said. A lot of countries haven't seen the threat as we see it. It hasn't been a high international priority, and that's what we intend to make it. So there you go, folks. They're running a play. This is a playbook, and they are running a play. And you can go to Infowars.com for more on that. And definitely, so keep an eye out for more propaganda in the next few weeks. It is time to get reactive on issues of 9/11. There's no doubt about that. For all the folks out there that say they're of good conscience, and scaling up from the example of child to parent to politician, if you are a politician and you are responsible for the lives of hundreds or thousands or millions of people, as is the case with many of our politicians and or bureaucrats, then you should feel a professional responsibility to look into this. You should feel a professional responsibility to take the issues brought to you by people seriously. When 12 people say that guy's guilty and he deserves to go to jail, then we accept that. And we say 12 people looked at the evidence, said that guy's guilty, he's got to go to jail. Fair enough. And so if there's 12 million people that say 9/11 was an inside job, it's at least worth checking out. And so that's a big meme for today, because it is important. There's a number of things to talk about, but when they're running massive propaganda campaigns, it's best to break down how to deconstruct them, especially when they involve the possibility of a false flag nuclear terrorist attack taking place in a major American or perhaps Canadian city during the G20, perhaps at the Pickering Nuclear Power Plant when the 10,000 security forces conscripted for this ridiculous summit of an event on June 26th and 27th could be sicked on the people of Toronto to lock the city down to look for more terrorists. So let's get over it, folks. We got to grow up and act like adults. If we're responsible for anybody, including ourselves and each other, it's time to check out a few things that we may have refused to so far. If you've been living it good by avoiding this stuff, great. It's now time to look into it. And you can do so at places like Infowars.com, a great place for all-around information and rare mainstream news. Naturalnews.com, great place for health news. TrendsResearch.com for wealth news. Tarpley.net, check out a bit more on this global international analysis from the smartest people in the world. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, philosophical news, and on and on. VigilantCitizen.com, to deconstruct pop culture and all the crazy satanic imagery we see out there in modern music and in modern advertising. If you don't know what it is, it's fascinating. Check it out. Locally to get involved, TorontoTrueSeekers.com. Going to be at Dundas Square this Saturday. Definitely invite you to join us. Check out the group. 335 members, up from around 200 last year. So people know what's going on. More have to show. If you know, it's time to show. And that's one to grow on. PressForTruth.ca, great journalism company here in Toronto. ConspiracyCulture.com, holding a 420 event. Check ConspiracyCulture.com for 420 and Freedom Fest events coming up in the next few weeks. ConspiracyCulture.com, book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Also, the FreedomLink.org, networking patriots worldwide. But that is enough for me. Colin Smith does have a gentleman whose name escapes me for a second, but he's right there, and I do know him well, and he's a great guy, and so he will reintroduce himself, and he is a very, very talented jazz programmer himself, so Mr. Smith has conscripted only the best to give you 4 hours of One Flight Up coming up. But yeah, I just want to leave you with a thought. What are we capable of here in the 21st century as adults? You know, instead of saying it's better than nothing or people are doing this or I'm not into that or whatever, let's try and figure out what we're capable of. Let's try and figure out what we can do as individuals working with other individuals and simply look at examples throughout history where individuals and groups had to do this and then see if there's anything today that we should possibly be at least paying attention to and probably be working on. I leave you with Cypress Hill, Black Sunday classic, Cock the Hammer. Have a great day, everybody. With the gun flex, then I pass around back to be again. I can make you famous like Amos, same as the last punk.
Venus, stuck the gap up in Venus. Hear me growl. I got the night vision like the wise old owl. I'm coming up, fetch ya. Yeah, home's a witcher. Bury them bones under my home and cock the hammer.
Cock the hammer, it's time for action. Cock the hammer. Cock the hammer, it's time for action.
Brooklyn, massive, comfy gunter. Uptown, massive, comfy gunter. Cypress, massive, pretty gunter. Hunsfield, massive, pretty gunter.
My weapon, step into a whole new.
The
boom, cock the hammer, wave the white banner. Ever heard of clock